keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Driving that train, pound cocaine. Casey Jones, he's better.
All right, 33 after. Quickly, we need to go to Frank checking in on the hotline from DeWitt. Frank, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Steve. Best show on the air. Hey, I just have a question, and my question is, why do Democrat Party politicians not have to obey the law, and how come they're never held accountable? How come Bernie Sanders can incite violence on the floor of the Senate, and nothing happens to him? How can Virge Bonaro openly push for sanctuary cities to break the law, and nothing happens to him? How can Lois Lerner commit her crimes, and Hillary Clinton commit her crimes, and Bill Clinton commits his crimes, and Barack Obama commits his crimes, and nobody ever, you know, if any of us did half or a fraction of what they did, we'd all be in prison. And the only crime there appears to be is if you're a Republican. And I want to know how long we're going to put up with this.
I've got to leave it there for today. Got to leave it there for today. You great points you made. It's a double standard out there oftentimes. I guess there is some good news to be found, though, in the double standards being dismantled, at least to some extent yesterday with the Supreme Court rulings that came down, Frank. So you'll have to take some solace in that the Supreme Court, even the liberal members of the Supreme Court, were able to figure out in a 7-2 case that Trinity Lutheran Church was entitled to the same things as everybody else. You can't specifically, deny opportunities from the government to religious organizations solely because they are religious organizations. Dr. Gracie Pozzo here, a Christie policy advisor with the Catholic Association. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
This is an important decision. This is a monumental decision in favor of religious freedom and specifically in favor of Christian freedom in America, I would say. What is your take on this case, Doctor?
Well, you're absolutely right. This is an enormous win for religious freedom. For too long, our government has been able to discriminate against people of faith when it comes to receiving government assistance for wonderful projects like the education of children and other things that people of faith do so well. When they go up to the government and ask to be treated like other groups that are out there in the public square, they have been discriminated against, and they're told no. Because you come from a place of faith, then you cannot receive these government grants.
Well, they've been falsely pigeonholed by the Establishment Clause, which in no way takes the separation. First of all, it doesn't say separation of church and state anywhere in the Constitution. They rely on the separation the Establishment Clause of the Constitution that keeps the separation, there, the Establishment Clause. But it has been bastardized, in my opinion, has been the Establishment Clause, to do exactly what you said, which is to discriminate against religious organizations, and primarily, let's not kid ourselves, primarily Christian organizations that have taken the brunt of this beating.
Right, and for over 100 years, many state constitutions have had these things called Lane Amendments, which specifically allow or enforce, actually, the government of these states to discriminate against religious entities. And this is a blow specifically also against these amendments that are present in, I think, over 30 state constitutions.
I think this is actually possibly the biggest win for Christians in America in a very long time, maybe in my lifetime. I'm trying to think of a more significant case that is garnered more attention. And by the way, on another note, the Supreme Court has also agreed to hear a case over same-sex wedding cakes in a Colorado case when somebody refused to be compelled to bake a cake for a religious ceremony that they did not agree with based on their own personal beliefs. We have some similar cases going on around the country. That's a big case that's going to be taken up this fall. But maybe there has been a change of tone in the way we deal with religious organizations. Certainly, again, I cannot overstate how important this case is for religious freedom.
Many millions of people across the United States voted for Mr. Trump exactly for this reason, because they knew that there was an opening in the Supreme Court and that the Supreme Court wields a lot of power over these very decisive things of religious liberty, the state of marriage. And he pledged, and he did, to put a justice in the Supreme Court that would speak for the majority of Americans.
No question. Here's my question for you, Doctor, and I think this is an important one, and Dr. Grazi's Pozo is here. Tell me, looking at Neil Gorsuch, your first impressions, we've got a few tea leaves on the table now, not a big body of work yet, but I would say those that were on the fence that voted for Donald Trump hesitantly, but believed that that Supreme Court nominee was extremely important because they wanted that person to be conservative, I believe those people are very pleased with the first round of results.
I know those people are very pleased. I know many of those people myself, and this for many, many millions of Americans, this was the number one reason that they were using to make their decision when they went to the poll. They wanted to know that the Supreme Court would once again become a voice for the general opinions of the people, and not just a place to promote progressive agendas.
Well, exactly right. And so there are a whole host of folks out there that held their nose and pulled the lever for Donald Trump, not because they liked him, not because of the comments that he made, not that they thought he was a good, you know, a guy when he opened his mouth or his antics, but because of the first Supreme Court pick, and he might get a second one soon. We don't know for sure, but he might get a second one, if not this year. Looks like maybe next year Anthony Kennedy will step down. That would be critical. And obviously you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I think it's fair to say is frail. You know, I don't think that's insulting in any way. It's certainly not meant to be, but she's frail. And if Donald Trump picked up three Supreme Court nominees in his first term in the White House, that would have been worth it, every bit of it, for those that voted for him but weren't sure.
Absolutely, and it would be a wonderful thing for our country because, the Supreme Court wields so much power on these culturally divisive issues, and it's important for the court to reflect the values of common sense, regular Americans all across the nation, not just the polls on the coast.
Well, I don't care if the court reflects my values. I want the court to reflect what was the intention of the Constitution of the United States, because I guess those are my values.
That's exactly right. The value, yeah. The people across the United States understand that the Constitution is this beautiful gift that we have, that we have to maintain exactly the way it was handed to us.
Well, there you go. And I greatly appreciate you stopping in. Again, we've got a couple more cases coming up, the same-sex wedding cake case, which if the court follows the path that's been laid this far, I can't say there's going to really, it's very hard to predict what the Supreme Court will do on any given case, but I would say that it's positive for religious freedom headed that way. I'll give you the last word.
Well, absolutely. And what we're fighting for these days is the ability to dissent from what's going on in many aspects of the cultural divide. And I really believe that the Supreme Court is headed in the right direction to give us that freedom.
Well, I greatly appreciate it, Doctor. It's been a good conversation and, a good way to start the summer, isn't it?
Wonderful way.
There you go. Dr. Grazi Pozo, I greatly appreciate it. Have a great day. We will talk soon.
Thank you.